You are Locked On Chargers, your daily
Los Angeles
Chargers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Locked On Chargers podcast. Today is November 1st, 2017. Man, I can't believe it's November already. 2017 is going by so fast, although that's probably a good thing because 2017 has been a weird year. Yesterday was Halloween, so we went over some scary things that didn't go so well for the Chargers. Today is All Saints Day, so we will talk about all the good things that happened this week and who were the Saints for the Chargers. The first name on the list is going to be Saint Danis Feeney, the patron saint of protection. Dan Feeney had a fantastic first game as a starter. I mean, just fantastic. Dan made multiple perfect blocks in the run game, and I mean, even when it wasn't going to his side. On the Melvin Gordon 87-yard run, Dan Feeney was able to shoot out to the second level and take out a Landon Roberts. If you've been following me on Twitter for a while, you know that I was a huge, huge fan of a Landon Roberts. One of the best things he does is come downhill versus the run, and he's athletic enough and instinctual enough to track down plays sideline to sideline. If Dan Feeney doesn't get out there and make that block, Gordon probably doesn't even get to the first down marker, let alone make it the full 87 yards for the touchdown. I mean, no disrespect to Melvin Gordon, but he hasn't exactly been the best in one-on-one situations this season, even against defensive backs, so I just don't expect that he would have beaten a Landon Roberts to the edge and made it to that first down. Dan Feeney came into this game and did not look like a rookie at all. He looked like he's ready to play in the NFL and ready to play very well in the NFL. I mean, not only did he do a lot of good work in the ground game, but he was perfect in pass protection. And I mean perfect. According to Pro Football Focus, Dan Feeney got a perfect 100.0 grade in pass protection because they charted that he did not give up a single hit, sack, or hurry. And in fact, in his first NFL start, Dan Feeney got an overall grade of 89.6 from PFF, which turned out to be the best grade of any guard in the NFL this week. He even beat Zach Martin of the Cowboys, who is an elite guard. He's an elite player at the position. And Dan Feeney, in his first start, put up a better performance than he did this week. And after watching the tape myself, I can't argue with their evaluation. Dan, hey, hats off to you, man, because this first game was great. He set the bar extremely high for himself going forward. I know losing Matt Slauson for the season hurts the team leadership-wise and makes the depth situation a little shaky, but in actual on-field performance, in this offense specifically, Dan Feeney, in his first start, has been a substantial upgrade. The second saint I want to talk about is Saint Joey Bosa, the patron saint of sacks and disruption. Bosa was a monster again this week, and I mean, he's really just hitting his stride at this point. Not only did Bosa come away with an impressive sack, but he had multiple run stops, and I think I counted he would have had at least two more sacks if he wasn't being held for one of them, and if it didn't look like Tom Brady was like coated in Vaseline or something. I mean, I will give a shout out to Tom Brady. He did an amazing job this week being able to slip the pressure and you know, just get out of things that would have been sure sacks on almost any other quarterback in the league. But I mean, Joey Bosa was just, he was wrecking stuff this week. I mean, I think Pro Football Focus had him tallied for the sack and then 8 additional pressures. And you could tell. I mean, it was easy to see on film. Joey Bosa keeps growing from week to week. And he not only is winning off his natural strength and athleticism, but his pass rush moves just continue to grow and evolve and develop. The defensive line as a whole just seems to be feeding off of each other at this point. And you can tell that Bosa is a big part of that, especially when you see him make the selfless plays, like how he attacks offensive linemen when he's scraping across their front to, you know, pull all of that aggression, to pull all of that focus onto himself, to free up one of his fellow linemen who's either stunting or coming on a delayed blitz next to him. I mean, he goes out there and he gets the job done in every single way that you could ask of a defensive lineman. Oh, and not to mention the fact that his sack set an NFL record for the most sacks by a player in their first 20 games. He has 19 sacks in his first 20 games. That's just insane. I mean, for someone to come into the league and over their first 20 games average almost a sack per game is just, it's insane. Especially with, you know, this league with, you know, more mobile quarterbacks than have been around in a while, and with how good at running backs are at catching the ball, and how involved tight ends are catching the ball in today's game. Joey Bosa going out there and getting that many sacks that this quickly in the NFL against outstanding offensive linemen, you got to give him a lot of credit. Now, unfortunately, I'm pretty much out of Saints for the week. I mean, there were a few other guys who had decent games, but nobody else who really had an outstanding game. I mean, Pro Football Focus did give some pretty generous grades to Desmond King and Jahlil Adai, but I didn't think either of them had outstanding games. I guess I will say Jahlil Adai looked outstanding when he was coming down to the line of scrimmage and supporting the run game. He had some very good tackles. But downfield, I mean, he was clearly outmatched against Gronkowski, and he missed a couple tackles downfield on passes to running backs that he shouldn't have missed. And Desmond King, I mean, he had a very good game, especially considering he's a rookie. He did have the sack on Tom Brady, and speaking of that, there was people giving him crap for that. And I mean, if you watch the replay, Tom Brady wasn't just trying to stand up. You see his feet spring off the ground like he was trying to jump or drive forward. So I don't give Desmond King any, you know, grief for having held on like that, because Tom Brady definitely, you know, hadn't submitted at that point. He was, you know, fighting. So screw that. Good on you, Desmond King. But I mean, other than that, the Chargers lost. Nobody else really stood out. Drew Kazer had an okay game. Phillip Rivers, while he didn't turn the ball over, I mean, he did cause himself to fumble and almost turned it over that way. And, you know, picked up a good amount of chunk yardage at the end of the game, but didn't really do all that much. And that isn't exactly his fault. I mean, the offense only had the ball for, I think, 24 minutes during the game, so nobody else really stood out. But there were a couple other good things that did happen this week. First is that the team stayed healthy. It was a long trip out to the East Coast, and it was raining pretty hard, so the field was slick. So being able to get out of that without having any injuries was really good, and then you add on to that the fact that they're getting the full week off this week to rest up, and then practice next week, and the Chargers are a lot healthier than they've been in previous seasons at this point. I mean, they do have a bunch of guys on IR already, but I mean, at this point last year, I think there was 10 guys on every injury report, and by the end of this week, there was 3. So it'll be nice to have everybody healthy going forward, and not having to worry, hopefully, about guys being week to week. Hopefully Joe Barksdale's turf toe calms down and he's able to, you know, play consistently going forward and be able to practice and not have to sit out everything to try and get healthy. And the same goes for Melvin Gordon. So, you know, hopefully now the Chargers are going to be fully healthy going forward, including getting Denzel Perryman back. The final good thing, and some of you, I can almost already hear you groaning and hearing you getting upset with me, because it's only November 1st and there's still half a season left, but the Chargers are now 3-5 and we can start looking forward to the draft. That's right, it's the bye week and we can start looking at draft prospects. I know some of you are as excited as I am, but I can, like I said, I can already feel, just even as I'm recording this, I haven't even published it yet, and I can feel anger in some of you. But part of what will make this draft so fun is the Chargers have holes at more exciting positions this year. They're probably going to need to draft a quarterback. Even if Philip Rivers has a few seasons left, they've waited more than long enough to find a quarterback of the future. And bringing in Cardale Jones, sure, maybe that is something, but you can't be sure that he is the quarterback of the future. And if the Chargers' record continues like this, with where they're going to be drafting, if one of those top quarterbacks is there, you can't just pass him up. I'm sorry, but at this point in Rivers' career, you can't pass up a potential featured quarterback, a franchise quarterback at the top of the draft if you're there. So that we can start scouting quarterbacks. The team could also probably use another wide receiver. I mean, either Travis Benjamin or Tyrell Williams, or possibly both, won't be here next season. So that leaves you with Keenan Allen, who, while he's been healthier this year, he still hasn't matched his level of production that they were hoping that he would keep up with. And Mike Williams is slow to develop. So after that, you have Jeremy Davis and then some practice squad guys. So I think while you probably aren't looking at a wide receiver in rounds 1, 2, or possibly even 3, you're going to draft a wide receiver this year. So we get to look at wide receivers. They also need some linebackers. They pretty much have Jatavis Brown and sometimes Denzel Perryman, and that's about it. I mean, Hayes Pollard, he gets a lot of tackles because he's there at the end of the play, but he's not a linebacker that's proactively helping the team make stops and get and force punts and end drives. So I mean, and Corey Toomer is pretty up and down. He's very good in stretches, and then there's stretches where you're shaking your head. So the Chargers need at least one more starting linebacker, and they're probably going to need to do it in the draft. They should probably also look at running back. They're going to need a third running back behind Melvin Gordon and Austin Ekeler. You can't tell me that the plan is to have Brandon Oliver or Andre Williams back there. I'm sorry, that just doesn't work. And finally, they need to stop ignoring the safety position. Trey Boston hasn't been who we all hoped he would be, and I'm sure who the team expected he would be. So, and Jahlil Adai, I mean, he's a good box safety, but that's about his limitations. I mean, he occasionally makes a play in pass protection, but you can't count on him to be your free safety. So the Chargers need to find their Eric Weddle replacement, and this draft is hopefully going to have a couple of those guys. Not to mention, if the offense keeps up this way, the team is probably going to have a new offensive coordinator next year, and that combined with Anthony Lynn wanting to continue putting his stamp on this team, offense is probably going to be a priority. So I would assume two of the first three picks next year are going to be offense. So while it is early, I'm going to start sprinkling in some draft talk into future episodes, because there's a ton of players every year in the draft. You never have enough time for all of them, but I mean, it's time to start talking about the draft. At this point, we can pretty reasonably expect the Chargers have a top 15 pick next year. And there you have it. This has been your Wednesday episode of Locked On Chargers, and I have been your host, Matthew Stanley. Please be sure to share with your friends. Remember to subscribe on your favorite podcast platforms, or head on over to LockedOnChargers.com and make that a favorite in your browser. And I hope everyone has a good rest of your week. You can always follow me on Twitter, at BoltFanInDenver, or over on the Locked On Chargers Twitter, at LockedOnLAC. Have a good rest of your week, and I'll talk to you guys again tomorrow.